PM on April the 14th, 2020. And I'd like to call to order the regular city council meeting for the city of White House, Texas. Susan, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, bear with me one moment. Okay. Charles Parker?
Here.
James Wansley?
Here.
Ginger Cardwell?
Here.
Paul Hickey?
Paul Hickey.
Millette Stroud? Dick Jackson?
Dick Jackson.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Outstanding. Item two is a prayer. I think that's very call for the situation. Would anybody like to volunteer to lead us in a word of prayer? Okay, then I guess I'll get started. Please bow your head with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to still meet and take care of the city's business. Lord, we ask that you take care of us, take care of our community. And Lord, if there's any way that you can see your way to ending this virus, really, I think everybody have a lot of joy in their hearts and many blessings from it. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Continue to bless each and every one of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to skip the Pledge of Allegiance and that due to how this is set up. Do we have any presentations? No presentations. Community interest?
No, sir.
Didn't think so. Public forum, no one signed in. There's no one here except for those of us that are on this call. Consent agenda. I'm going to take a motion for the consent agenda at this time.
I'll make a motion. We approve the consent agenda.
Motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item H1. This is our other action items. This is resolutions, public hearings. Item one is consider authorization of Brandon Corp to let for bid a drainage project on Hagen Road at Sunny Meadows subdivision. Bob, would you kind of start us off with this? Or Leslie, who wants to give the preamble?
I'll start, Mayor.
Maybe Leslie ought to start.
So Brandon Corp has done some preliminary design work for some drainage improvements to go along Hagen Road. These improvements would run from where Jack Brown is going to intersect with Hagen to just east of Christopher Drive. And this project is needed. We've had some flooding issues along the Christopher Drive area, that subdivision right there. We had an issue on Sunday. We didn't quite get a home flooded at the corner of Jan and Christopher, but we came close. Flooding has been an issue in that area. I think going back to the 2015 or 2016 flood that was experienced back then. And with the development of phase 7 of Sunny Meadows, now is a good time to address this drainage issue along Hagen Road. The scope of this project would include widening Hagen Road to our standard 2-lane roadway width, curb and gutter, and an enclosed stormwater system. If you have any specific questions about that project, Bob Breedlove is on the call and can answer those questions. We do have one other drainage issue that came up over the weekend related to Sunny Meadows, and water came close to getting into homes along Corey Drive. I had a citizen call me on Sunday. The developer of Sunny Meadows has, about a year ago, we asked them to do some grading work on the north side of that old railroad bed along that creek so that those homes would not experience those drainage issues. Brandon Corp did follow up with the developer last Friday to ask what their timeline is on those projects. Other than that, staff is happy to answer any questions you may have.
One of the questions I had, and I talked about this way earlier and self-explained it, was, is this going to be sufficient for the Hagen Road drainage? Because clearly this starts at Jack Brown, But going further west, does it cover all of Sunny Meadows? And then will it cause a issue on the east side of Christopher? I guess, Mr. Breedlove, if you could kind of go over that, do you think this will keep the water? I mean, obviously, we're doing an improvement for that section of Hagen, but we still have the remaining sections of Hagen. Is that going to cause us an issue?
Well, we've designed this in such a way that you would be able to extend it in the future as Hagen is built to the east. As you go east, as you're going downhill, you need to continue the storm drain system. As you go back to the west, you sort of top out, you get to the top of the hill, and then it starts draining the other direction. So we've looked at that, and what we've tried to do is build a section that you would be finished between two streets, and you wouldn't have to go back to it, and you'd be able to add on to the end of it in both directions.
Also, what is the engineer's estimates for cost associated with this project?
Well, we have not done one. We did the plans, and then I believe Billy Moss gave us a price or a quote. Was it $225, Leslie, or $275?
$275 was what his initial estimate was.
Right. So, but we will definitely do an estimate.
And Mayor and Council, that would be funded out of our existing stormwater fund. I think I haven't had Jennifer run the exact numbers, but I think we have about $1.3 million left in that fund for stormwater improvements. After the Quarry Drive and the other various drainage improvements that were approved by the council previously this year.
And out of that, Leslie, how much of that has already been earmarked? Are you saying like that's the cash balance of it, but it hasn't even been earmarked already?
So we have 1.3 remaining that has not been earmarked.
Not, okay.
One area that we are in great shape in as a city is our stormwater fund. That's something that we've managed to build up a pretty good position in. We've come in under budget on some other projects, and as a result of that, that's able putting us in this position to where we can do some of this initial work that prepares us for the future and to deal with some of the growth areas along Hagen Road. And there's already, as Leslie pointed out, some flooding issues over there, and being able to take care of the front end of this is pretty significant. And of course, handling the area on the back end is up to the developer, but at least we can take care of our part on the front end so that we're not getting the blame as well. But I do think this is a necessary project and one that, we're going to have to do sooner or later. And I think we have an opportunity here to fix a problem before it gets really bad.
Okay. First way, and I guess, and I'm only going by the drawings we have, but where does the breakover occur in Sunny Meadows to where, I mean, is a lot, let's see, lot 45 to where it shifts to Hagen Road versus to the back of the property? Is that what's causing this, the water issues, is that so many of those lots are shoving it to Hagen?
Bob, you want to speak to that? You've looked at that a little closer.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull up the plans from Sunny Meadows and answer that question.
Somebody talking?
Hey, if looks like the drainage area that goes towards Hagen is about even with Chad Street. So if you go down Christopher, the first intersection is Jan Street, and the next intersection is Chad. You project over to the west, that's about where the brake line is on Jack Brown. Is that Jack Brown?
Yeah, it's been changed to Jack Brown.
Okay. And then the rest of it obviously flows to the back, and that's a separate issue that's on the contractor or the developer.
Right.
And one last question on this, and I apologize, but in looking at this, when we end this new drainage, we're not expanding it. We're basically just enclosing the drainage, correct? The pre-existing bar ditch that's there, we're going to enclose that. Are we going to cause issues to that new, that subdivision that's to the east of Christopher, by dumping the excess water off in that area?
We're running, I believe, a 36-inch pipe down there, and there's two 24-inch pipes underneath Blackbird Way. I think.
Paul, earlier today after we spoke, I drove that, and Mockingbird Place has done, they have two culverts under both of their drives that would handle the flow, I think, and then they have another culvert that comes out to the rear of that first lot that's been developed. I'm not sure if it's an inflow or outflow based on the direction, but I think they've already improved the drainage going under Mockingbird or Blackbird Way, excuse me. To handle that drainage right there.
So there's no indication that if we do this, we're not going to be opening ourselves to liability because we're adding more water flow that ends up getting stuck on Mockingbird, flooding homes over in that area.
Not that I'm aware of. Bob, do you think that's going to be an issue?
No, I think on Christopher, on the corner there, are actually higher than the homes on Blackbird.
Yep.
It falls in that direction as you go.
Yeah, and I think those improvements they made at Blackbird when they put in that subdivision should be sufficient to handle any flow coming down Hagen without flooding those yards.
Paul, if you'll remember back when Blackbird, one of the big issues with them when they first started was that they did not put in adequate drainage, and that was one of the reasons that our prior city manager and city engineer over that project stopped construction at that point and wouldn't let them go any further was because of that, and they have since completed all of their work down there through CAPS, and CAPS has signed off on the drainage off of that end of it, to my knowledge.
Okay. I mean, that was just my concern, is that we ended up putting more water on somebody else, and we have to, again, fix that. But if they've corrected that error, and it's adequate to where it'll hold up, I don't see an issue.
Bob, do you see an issue?
No, I was looking at the plans here. There is an old driveway showing up on my plans before you get to Blackbird that we probably need to demo out. I can't remember if it's actually still there. It was there when I did the survey, it looks like. So we may need to pull that out.
I believe it's still there. It used to access that property between Christopher and that neighborhood back when that was farming. You remember right. That was in hay trail or something that they utilized.
Yeah. So we'll need to pull that out, but that'll get all the water down to the pipes that go under Blackbird. I don't mind looking at the Blackbird plans. If I'm sure Susan has them, I'll just double check and make sure they've got the what they were designed for.
That was the only questions I had, and I appreciate you answering them. Makes me feel better about that we're not causing another issue further downstream, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else have any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Hang on, Mayor. Let me pull it
back. I move to approve the authorization of the Brandon Corp. to let bid for a drainage project on Hagen Road at Sunny Meadow Subdivision.
Motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call vote, please?
James Wansley.
Yes.
Ginger Cardwell.
Yes.
Paul Hickey.
Yes.
Dick Jackson.
Yes.
Is that everybody?
Yes.
Let the record show that the motion carries. Moving on. Thank you, Bob, for all your work. Staff for all that you did on this. I appreciate it. I think this is a good direction. Item H2, consider and improve ordinance for a franchise agreement with CenterPoint Energy. What I know about this is that Forest Dale, the new subdivision on the far end of Hagen in the corner of 346, was able to reach an agreement with CenterPoint for gas in that area. So this is a brand new franchise agreement for us. Leslie, would you care to expand on that?
Yes, sir, Mayor. So when we met with CenterPoint to discuss possible franchise agreements with them, they indicated they have two agreements that they normally use with cities. One they refer to as a standard agreement and one they refer to as a non-standard agreement. The standard agreement has been included in your packet. The standard agreement would pay 5% franchise fees to the city, but it also means that you would surrender original jurisdiction in rate review cases. If y'all have ever heard rate review cases from Atmos, you know that when they file for increased rates, they have to go before the Texas Railroad Commission. And if you retain original jurisdiction, it requires an ordinance or an action by the council, and it's immediately referred to the Railroad Commission, where they go through their normal process to review the rates. This agreement would surrender that original jurisdiction so that you wouldn't have to take that action, and it just goes straight to the Railroad Commission. This is a new agreement that isn't offered by some other franchisees yet. There are some other cities in the area that have done the standard agreement. I spoke to a couple of those, and they indicated they haven't had any issues with this. And actually recommend it. For one, staff doesn't have the expertise or the capacity to review their rate review cases. We can look at them, but I couldn't tell you what they mean most of the time. It's usually a packet about an inch thick when they file a rate review case. The Railroad Commission reviews all rate cases by gas companies, so I don't feel like there's any risk to the council or to the city in surrendering that original jurisdiction. If you wanted to go with the non-standard agreement and retain original jurisdiction over rate cases, that franchise fee is reduced to 4%. I don't know yet what we can expect as far as franchise fees because they're new to the area and I don't really have a good feel for how much they're going to expand once they're here. So far they've been a great partner and staff would recommend the standard agreement.
for those of you that have been on the council for a while, every couple of years, Atmos or whoever comes to us, and they usually send a representative down here, and they ask us to pass something to deny their rate increase so that they can basically take their appeal to the state. And so it's a piece of paperwork where they come to us and ask us to deny giving them a rate increase so that they can appeal it through the state. And if you want to retain the right so that they can come to you and ask for a denial, then you go with a non-standard agreement and we lose a percentage. That's basically what this boils down to.
And one thing I did not add, this by our charter does require two readings. Most of our ordinances only require one. However, because it's a franchise agreement, it has some special requirements and regulations that we have to go through. So whatever action you take tonight, we will also put this on the next agenda for consideration again.
Any questions?
No. I'd go ahead and, if no one has any other questions, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the ordinance and franchise agreement with CenterPoint Energy.
Motion on the floor to approve the ordinance. Do you have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Would there be any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Dick Jackson.
Yes.
Paul Hickey.
Yes.
James Wansley.
Yes.
Ginger Cardwell.
Yes.
Let the record show that it passed unanimously. Thank you for your work on this, and it's always nice to have more franchise fees, but I guess this will be on the next agenda as well. Item number H3, COVID-19 update. Consider amending the disaster declaration is item A. Item B is property tax and budget implication discussion. We've been having, city staff has been having daily meetings with the EOC, state. I've had mayor meetings regionally with all of the other mayors and the county judge once or twice a week looking at updates. I think the discussion now is moving more toward how do we reopen things in the future and what that might look like and what type of protective measures would the public be open to, and some of those kind of things I think are just general discussion points that I'm hearing around. I don't necessarily know that any of that is necessarily going to happen tomorrow or even next week, but I think what it is in general just trying to formulate a plan to be able to figure out how we unwind from all of this at some point in a safe and responsible way, as opposed to saying, yeah, that's it, it's over, and the floodgates are open. So, you guys might start putting some thought into that yourselves as how at some point we start trying to open businesses back up and that type of thing. I do know that Millette is obviously not here tonight as part of the call, and one of the reasons that she's not is because I think the SBA loans and the processing of that is taking up a tremendous amount of her time, and it probably means the difference in a significant number of businesses in our area being able to survive or not as to whether or not there's SBA money available. Leslie, you want to take over and kind of chime in a little bit on what your thoughts are?
Mayor, so in looking at operations, we are kind of in a maintenance mode right now, just maintaining the alternate schedules that we've done with all of our groups, which has been effective. And I think our staff is very appreciative of us working with them and trying to make sure that they are safe and are able to accommodate the changes that they have all felt within their families. We did receive a generous donation of masks and PPE over the weekend. Thank you, Mayor, for working with some county officials for coordinating that and making sure that we got that. I think we feel like we're in a much better position in protecting not only our first responders, but we were able to pass some along to our public works crews who did not have any up until that point. So we're very appreciative of those resources that have been given to us. As the mayor said, we've been participating in the Emergency Operations Center calls. They announced today they will move that from each weekday to three times weekly. TDEM, the Texas Department of Emergency Management, we've started seeing a shift from them as well into more of a recovery focus and how we're going to unwind some of these things. There have been some really good partnerships. TJC has indicated that they're going to provide dormitories for first responders and healthcare workers that kind of need a respite facility or that need to quarantine away from their families. We've also participated in position-specific webinars and regional calls through TCMA. I know Jennifer's working closely with some other HR departments, with some other cities, ICMA, and some of those types of things. So that's kind of the update as far as the disaster declaration. The draft that you have in your packet would extend that disaster declaration for an undetermined amount of time. I don't think any of us have a really good feel for how long the governor's declaration is going to last and the county judge's stay-at-home orders and disaster declarations are going to last there either. So staff is recommending that you extend that for an undetermined amount of time. Other than that, we're happy to answer any questions you may have. And Mayor, Chief Johnson is on the call. I don't know if he has anything he would like to add related to that. I don't mean to put him on the spot, but he said no. So, good.
One question. When we passed that original declaration, wasn't it we're only able to go 30 days at a time? Is that going to cause us an issue with going indefinitely on the validity of it?
So it could. I think you extend it indefinitely, and we will make sure that you're just renewing it at least every 30 days. But I think it helps keep us from getting into a sticky timing situation if it were to come up.
Okay.
There have been a couple of other cities in our area that have gone to an indefinite time period. Some of them have put in there, you know, some things that this shall coincide with whatever orders the county or the state or the feds give. But I think just leaving the word indefinite time period solves it without bundling it up with a bunch of other agencies or making it confusing.
I don't have a problem with it. I just remember us talking about that the last time was there was a stipulation on 30 days. That's the only reason I bring it up.
Yeah, if we come back again, it'll just be a motion to extend the disaster declaration, and that'll be it.
Okay, you need a motion on that?
Yes, I do need a motion.
I can give it a go.
Go ahead.
I move to amend the disaster declaration section 3 to read the City Council of White House hereby ratifies and extends the declaration of disaster for an indefinite period or until such time as it is canceled by the City Council.
Motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Will there be any opposition? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Leslie, would you like to talk about section B on this?
Yes, sir. So one of the things we're seeing a lot of other cities concerned about are the financial implications of all of our businesses being shut down. So Jennifer ran some analysis for me today, and based on our budget, we are on track and probably slightly high on our sales tax projections and our collections, higher than what we budgeted. So that's encouraging news, but I will say there is a significant lag in sales tax collections. So we're not celebrating just yet. I don't think we've had enough time to really see what the sales tax implications are going to be as we move forward. But what I really want to talk to you about is property tax. So all of you know Senate Bill 2 was passed in the last legislative session that reduced what was called the rollback rate from 8% to now 3.5%. There was a provision in that law that said if the governor declares a disaster declaration, declares a disaster during the year, the council can choose to take the full 8% increase in property tax revenues and not be limited to the 3.5%. So it's just something I want you to start thinking about. You still have the same budget calendar as you would if you were going with the 3.5%. The timeline that moves up is your adoption date. So you would have to adopt by the end of August. TML has sent out several coronavirus updates that are related to the Senate Bill 2 and how our property taxes may be impacted. One other thing I want to make you all aware of is there have been several state legislators that have requested that the governor freeze property tax values at 2019 levels due to the disaster. I haven't seen any movement or heard any indication as to whether or not he is actually going to do that, but I do want you to know that it is being considered. We have not received any preliminary values from Smith County Appraisal District yet or the tax office. So I can't tell you yet what the impact of value changes will be. So we are hoping that we get some of those information, some of that information, some of those numbers soon. Normally they would have had a meeting this month with their taxing entities and jurisdictions, but they have not yet done so. Our property tax collections remain high. I saw a report from Smith County this week, and it showed that we are the second highest collection city for the previous property tax year. So no significant impacts there. Just know that there will be some decisions coming your way as we move through the budget season. One other question I had asked to me was whether or not we have seen a change in water consumption as everybody is now home during the day. Our water consumption has remained relatively flat since January. Not a huge surprise given all the rain we've had. We would expect to start seeing some significant growth in our consumption. But through March, it has been relatively flat. Now, granted, this didn't really break off until the second week of March, so I wouldn't expect to see significant impacts just yet, but we'll be watching the April billing cycle pretty closely to see where we stand. And I think that's all I have on that.
Okay. Does everybody understand what that means on the sales tax? Basically, SB3 was a 3.5% maximum increase, as opposed to going up the old way of a maximum of 8%. So that's basically what this means to us. So I don't know which way it's better. I don't really have an opinion on this thing at this point, but I did think that you guys probably needed to hear about it. So if you have any questions, let's get them aired out, or anything else that you have concerns under the topic of COVID-19, since we've kind of opened up that whole can of worms. If y'all have anything that you want to address or that we're not thinking about that we need to talk to the judge or bring the EOC or any other places, now would be your time to address it here so that we can follow up with that.
So the federal tax deadline was pushed out, but based on what Ms. Black said, the property taxes are still coming in on a regular basis?
Yes. Okay. And our sales tax are up, but all relative.
Yeah, I thought so, that it might be because toilet paper is taxed. So
don't make me laugh.
I commend the the city management and the city leadership from all sides on how they're handling this. It's the information is coming in steady, and it seems to be the most accurate whenever I go back and look at the other sources of it. So it's been great. We appreciate it.
I too want to commend the rest of the staff at Dunn. You know, we were better prepared early than a lot of other folks, and I think they stayed on top of it, and their plans have been brilliant. So, and I'd like to think that that's why our city is trying to stay safe, and seems like our numbers are holding steady. And I'd like to thank them for the efforts that they've done so far in helping with that.
And you too, Mr. Mayor. There's always some reason for you to be working as a full-time job as mayor, it seems. So we appreciate your work.
7 more months and somebody else gets to handle it. Oh, I'm tired of declaring the city a disaster. Anything else anybody wants to talk about on any of that? Are there any needs from city staff that I haven't asked for from, you know, any of the county officials that I need to be aware of?
Not that I know of, Mayor.
Okay. That would be good, too. I've still failed to find a central repository of citizens in need, and that has to do with the school district and citizens at large. It just seems odd that there aren't more people that are openly struggling and that need help. You know, a lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of kids aren't getting the school lunches that they used to on a regular basis. If anybody knows a list that we can work, then that would be great too.
I've talked to Anthony a few times. I've talked to a couple of the preachers around town. I am not hearing of a big need that's not being handled somewhere.
Yeah, I can understand them wanting to keep the workforce low, just given the situation. So I'm glad to hear that everything's going okay, if that's truly the case. I just hope we don't come out on the other side of this and find out there was a pocket that was missing. But if there is, I'm having a hard time finding it.
I agree. Wherever that pocket is, and I'm kind of like you, James, I'm convinced that there's one out there. I just, you know, I'm not hearing anything about it. And I don't know what we do to identify it, but I mean, certainly the county's done a good job of getting information out from the food bank. They're having, they've had drive-through sessions where people go pick up meals. I know several churches in the area have all reached out. You know, all the Tyler churches have been actively involved in things. I think the Boys and Girls Club, United Way, I really can't think of a civic organization that has not chipped in some way to try to help others in need in our community.
And I tell you what, the girls have been learning from home. They're ready for college. I mean, they got it all down. You know, they got a regiment set up. They got a portal they go to, and their assignments are there. And the school was able to pivot on a portal that was used for summer school, and they just kind of revamped it to service all the students instead of just the summer school students. So that was really neat.
Yeah, and we still don't know if school's going to come back or not. I mean, that right. Announcement hasn't come out yet, but I think it would be really hard for them to come back and open up for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, May the 4th is the next big decision, right, for the state level?
Okay, anything else? Okay, item H4, consider future agenda items. Obviously, we are going to have the CenterPoint Energy come back through again.
It'd be good to have the property tax and budget implications with the new data as well. If 2 weeks will help build more data on that.
We'll probably need to wait till the April is over and closed out before we'll have any more data points that would be useful on that discussion, because we'll be through another cycle of utility billing, may have some additional sales tax numbers, some of those kind of things in early May.
That sounds good.
What I would like to have is a water discussion, because I would like to find out, you know, because we've been pretty lenient through this with our policy on both late fees as well as disconnects. I mean, obviously, we don't need people trying to deal with a virus and not having water. And so we've tried to be a real good steward to our citizens with that. But I'd kind of like to understand what the actual cost of that is.
Mayor, it's interesting. This morning, Jennifer ran some numbers for me, and we had 130 fewer people on our late list than the prior month.
Wow.
Oh, all they needed was some extra time on their hands to pay.
Just wasn't, those weren't numbers I expected.
Mm. This whole thing's been weird.
Okay, anything else y'all want to talk about next month or next couple of weeks?
Do you want to hear the items I have already listed?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We'll have a rezone for Mockingbird Place. They're asking to rezone from residential low to residential plan development. Possibly, Leslie and I are working on a right-of-way ordinance that may or may not be ready. That we'll just have to see.
That'll be to establish a right-of-way permit and regulations when people are requesting to do work in our right-of-ways or under roadways, those kinds of things.
Currently, we don't have a, we can't make them get a permit from us. Encore has a rate case that we'll need to hear. These very similar to what we were just talking about with CenterPoint. And then, of course, the, like you said, the CenterPoint franchise ordinance will be back on. That's all I have.
Anybody else? Okay. Since we don't have an executive session scheduled, I guess we're down to item K. Anybody want to make a motion?
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
There we go. Let's do it. The time is now 6:42 and we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Y'all have a great week.
See you.
Bye.